Well, you can, I probably should have had you do this to start with, because you need to probably need to once again turn to the front of your Bible to find out what page it's on, like Gary said yesterday, because this is one of the parts of Scripture we don't normally turn to in the Old Testament. Ezekiel. He saw the will. He may not have ate soap, but he did see a will. Ezekiel 28. And what page was that on, Gary? 1178. That was on 763 in mine. Gary's got a lot more word in his than I've got in mine. We're not going to cover all this chapter. I just want to really get to verse 12, because I want us to look at, just for a few moments in preface to the offering this morning, something about our adversary. And I think once you begin to see what he's aimed at and how that we can take what he tries to aim at us and very strategically aim back at him, we get a clear picture. This is amazing to me, because in the Old Testament prophet actually gives us an insight to pre-Genesis. This is something that has happened even before he shows up in the Garden of Eden, the actual physical garden of planet Earth. We actually see his existence and part of his fall. And so only through the prophetic mind, only through the mind of Christ, can we see something that we could not see otherwise. And so Ezekiel, amazing enough, a man yet not born again, spirit-filled, but God came on him, gave him this insight. And I want us to look at verse 12. Prior, leading up to this, there is a stereotypical king. And then it speaks of a spiritual king or a prince. And it's talking about, prior to this, a puppet king. You know, the personality of people take on a lot of times what is behind them spiritually. So at the beginning of this chapter, which we won't read, there is a king acting as if he's sitting in a place of authority. But then in verse 12, we begin to really get a look at the picture of our adversary prior to coming into our existence. The word says in verse 12, it says, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty." Now it says here that thou hast been in the Eden, the garden of God. And then as you read this, you understand that's not really talking about the one that we normally understand as our beginning. And it says here, "In that place, when he was created, every precious stone was thy covering." Now, the word covering in the Hebrew is the word garnishment. Now, I don't want to read a whole lot into this, but something when he was created, our adversary, Lucifer, Isaiah 28 calls him the son of morning, Lucifer, something about him innately was created that all these garnishments was part of his being. And God seemed to thoroughly furnish him with these things that we're about to read as a garnishment of beauty, as a garnishment of God's, if you could say it this way, show off, prosperity, the God of endless beauty, the God of endless prosperity. And he put that in one of his created beings. He put that in one of his angelic hosts. It says, "Every precious stone was thy covering, sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, gold." He says, the workmanship of thy tabrets, that's the word tambourine, and thy pipes or horns, was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Two things that we see here. One thing that we've noted several times before in the past was this. There was something innate about him that he had not necessarily tambourines hanging off of him or horns or trumpets, but that he had something created in him from the get-go that he could spawn worship. He could create worship. He could solicit worship. And so thus it's been said many times that he he probably had, and as you read a little bit further, he probably had a throne room worship kind of authority, or he may have led worship. We don't have all of the insight here. We get a brief snapshot into this. But something else that's incredible along with this is all of his garnishment. So what this is suggesting to us here is not only was he part of worship, but he's also part of the picture of God's prosperity, God's wealth, if you want to say it that way. It says here, "Thou art the anointed cherub." We know that's his classification. Thou art the anointed, or he was then, the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Now, when God gave Moses the picture of the tabernacle, and he said, I want you to create a mercy seat, and I want you to have two angels beaten of gold, and they're to stretch themselves out
like this
over the mercy seat, and they're to cover the mercy seat. This may be saying that at one time, his ministry was just that, and it calls those beaten gold images, which is stereotypical of heaven. It says they cover the mercy seat, or this is what heaven looks like. It may have been that he was at one time one of those cherubs that covered the mercy seat, but it does say here that thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Reading on. I have set thee so, and thou hast been upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in all thy ways from the day that thou wast created until iniquity was found in thee. And it says, this is amazing, by the multitude of thy merchandise, and that word merchandise is the word trade, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane or perverted out of the mountain of God, that place of worship, that throne room place. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub. Again, he mentions that. From the midst of the stones of fire. What these were, we can't read too much into it, but it was something to do with his glory. It was something to do with his power. And he says here, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee down to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. This word traffic here is the same word we use traffic. It means commerce. It really does, if you look up in the Hebrew. And I am not suggesting that there was some kind of commerce in heaven, but there was something about what he did in worship and something about what he did in portraying the infinite wealth of God that he began to look at himself and see this beauty and see this wealth and aspire to go higher than God. Now this takes on a really even a deeper understanding of what the word says. The love of money is really the root, the very root of all evil. You can trace it all the way back to his beginning, where he was at. And it says, thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries, again, verse 18, by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring, now this is the important part. We're almost done, just a little bit. He says, therefore I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. Notice there that it doesn't say I'm going to bring a fire on you. It says I'm going to bring a fire from you or from the midst of you. It's going to come out of you. It says it shall devour thee. And I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth and in the sight of them that behold thee. This is amazing to me because what he's saying here is this. You're going to decompose by something that is going to devour you from the inside out. Because you've turned rogue and because you have perverted what I have given you by reason of choice, now I'm going to begin God in essence, says what you're aspiring to do is going to be your destruction. Now, two things that we notice from the beginning. One, we know that by reason of his creation, the tambourines or the sound of the trumpet that was inside of him, the solicitation of worship, he was connected to worship. Another thing that I see from this is that he was connected to wealth. He was connected to what God, the representation of all the wealth of God. Now there's two things that he really hates. He hates your worship, and he hates to see you prosper, believing that you will one day do what you're called to do, and that's prosper the kingdom of God. Kenneth Hagin said he will fight you more over prosperity in the church than he will over souls, because he says if you get a few souls saved, that's really good, but if he can stop the source by which the propagation of the gospel goes out, he's really into that. Now, Jesus says this. He says, he quotes Psalms 8, he said, out of the mouth of babes thou hast perfected praise. Now, he's talking about the new nature. The innocence of the new nature perfects that ability of praise. Here, God says, I will bring a fire from out of thee, from the midst of thee, it will devour thee. Psalms 8 that he quotes, David says this, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength, that thou mayest still the enemy and the avenger. Now the word still there means cause to fail. How many of you have ever watched a Superman movie? There's a new one of those Marvel movies coming out. Gary's going to get down to our place about the time it comes out. Superman had one thing that would cause him to fall into a puddle. I'm going to ask you what it is, if you know. Kryptonite. He was a terror, but if he got around kryptonite, it reduced him. I believe this, that when we begin to praise, worship, when we begin to give God adoration for what He's going to give us and what He has given us, that a very the devouring fire, that which was once His ability to create, now becomes His very destruction. It becomes His kryptonite. It becomes what was once His bestowed blessing. Now it becomes that which devours and destroys Him from the inside out. Now, I'm not going to preach again, but this is illustration. Pastor Dave taught us years ago, he said, look, if the last thing that you had, the best way to get or receive, not that you're trying to talk God into anything, but out of a grateful heart, if He can't defeat you through worship, if you can worship God, you can defeat poverty. So, old Mother Hubbard goes to her cupboard looking to get her dog a bone. When she gets there, she finds none. But if the last thing in your cupboard is a can of Beanie Weenies or Spam. Hey, I like Spam. Good fried Spam with some mustard and onion. I'm talking to glory. If that's all you got, you put that Spam there. Father, get exaggerated with it. God, I magnify, I glorify You. Thank You, Lord. I thank You for this. I worship You. What you're doing, you're beginning to begin to reduce what He comes with terror. This is the way you're going to live. This is the rest of your life. You're not going to prosper. You begin to reduce Him And when I say get exaggerative with it, another thing that Dave taught us years ago, he said, you know, were you believing God as much when you said, I believe, I receive, as when it actually come to pass? You say, well, yeah. Did you rejoice more when it came in than you did when you say, I'm making my stand? Sometimes our church secretary, my wife, has given me the offering report. Now, I've learned this. There's going to be a breakthrough. So I might as well, once I get through the breakthrough and I feel like saying, hallelujah, there's surplus, I want to look back and say, I worshiped Him that much when the report wasn't like that. There's been times where I'd put it down and say, God, I thank You with all of my heart. I worship You. You are my provider. I am rejoicing, and I would rejoice over that. Silly. I mean, exaggeratively, almost like, my God, they just gave us $1 million. Because I knew one thing, that the one that was trying to forefront a battle, he would be reduced through my worship. Hallelujah. Amen. Did you get anything?